even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, yeah.
Hey everybody, it's your boy Robbo back again with, as always, with my co-host for the Robbo Report, Steele Saunders. How you doing, Steele?
I am great, Robbo. I'm very excited to be talking to you again on this. This is actually, normally the Robbo Report is a Patreon exclusive, but this is a, I think this is episode 24, so it is on the main feed. And if you missed the last episode on the main feed, we are doing a commentary of the Mandalorian series. And this episode, we're doing episode 2, The Child.
Which is my favorite episode of the show. So you're going to get an unusually and uncharacteristically positive Robbo. So
really? I was thinking as I did some reminiscing about this episode, I think this could be my least favorite episode.
Really?
Yeah. Ebony and Ivory, living in perfect harmony, if you call what this podcast is harmony, which I wouldn't.
Which one am I?
It's hard to say.
Yeah. There's no right answer to that question.
No, there is not. There's lots of wrong answers.
Well, there's a right answer, but it negates the other correct answer.
The right answer is just mumbling and walking away. So how this works is you can watch along with us on Disney Plus, or you can, you know, if you've seen the episode a bunch of times, which I'm sure you have, or even if you haven't, we, you know, we'll talk our way through it. You can listen in. I know Rowan Strang, he instead of pressing play on the video player, he commented on the Patreon page that he honked his horn.
That is like, was that like an accident? It was like an involuntary reflex, or was it?
I think he's just trying to get in on the fun.
Okay. All right.
So, I want to give a shout out to all our horn honkers out there in traffic listening to the commentary.
Yeah. Drive safe.
Honk that horn.
Like, don't blame me, like, because there will be insights aplenty and hilarity will ensue, and you may take your eyes off the road.
Okay.
I don't want to be responsible for that.
All right. So if you are going to watch along, this is what you got to do. Get to your Disney Plus and don't go to themandalorian.com. That will not take you to the episode in question, or any episode for that matter. Go to disneyplus.com. Click on Star Wars. Click on The Mandalorian. Hit chapter 2, The Child, then press play, then press pause, and drag the player back to 000. And then when I go 1, 2, 3, play, hit play on play. And that was the test. That was the test one. So sometimes Robbo likes to press play on that one.
But now, see, the way you said it, it was clear from your voice.
Well, that
you,
I had to go out of my way to make it very clear. To get the message across that this was merely a warning, 1, 2, 3, play, and not.
Oh, I just did it. Is that kidding?
So your favorite episode, Robbo? This is going to be exciting.
My favorite episode.
Okay. I feel like I've got the volume at a good angle. I know. Last episode, the first version was a little bit misbalanced. Robbo was a bit louder than me, but then I posted up a new episode, a new version, which is more balanced and has been met with much joy.
And personally, I prefer the first version where I just like overpower you. makes it sound like you're just like submitting to my will. Like, oh, your thoughts are so great, Robbo. Please.
I've been stunned into silence with your genius, Robbo.
Or it sounds like, or if it's really quiet, I just sound like a lunatic.
Yeah, well, either way. Are you ready, Robbo?
I am.
1, 2, 3, play. Disney
logo. Oh, beautiful. Nice. Beautiful. The synchronicity.
Now, don't skip the recap, you guys.
Oh,
it's very disrespectful. Love the recaps. Let you know what you got to, you know, it gives you hints at who you're going to see in action for the next episode.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do the recap.
Love it. Razor Crest Land.
You know, like, there's not enough medallions in Star Wars.
Oh, God.
Medallions are that's a, I mean, if capes can be a thing, if like what Emily Lind is the capes, I want to be to medallions.
You like a medallion? What about that? Didn't Mon Mothma have some weird award around her neck?
I think she did. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
How have they not sold? This is the problem with Lucasfilm. They're not licensing to the right people. How can I not buy a pram in the shape of the Childs? Come on,
you know. I think that would be like the anything that any product you sell for babies is like a legal nightmare, like a regulatory nightmare. It's very difficult because the second one kid dies, everybody loses their damn minds.
Yeah, they get sensitive about those kids.
It's as if we find infants precious or something. I don't get it.
All right, we're into the episode. Oh, yeah. We skipped past the masks. We didn't skip past it. We just ignored it. And we've got a very realistic-looking CGI wizard. Tremendous.
Love it.
Could be a real wizard painted, for all I know. And we're in the trench with the Mandalorian walking along with his floating child. And
assisted listening for the blind.
Okay, sorry.
You don't have to describe the scene.
I'm just getting people in the mood. We're fresh off the buzz of... Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will. I think everyone was chomping to see a bit more.
What's your opinion of the floating baby carriage?
I just don't like it when he's in dangerous areas. Like when he goes into the town and he's just letting it float behind him.
I don't know.
But this, like just him walking somewhere like casually and it floating with him, I love. And those little lizards, like, running around that's some good Star Wars.
Right.
Now, apparently you can see one of these guys in his helmet reflecting. Oh, is that him?
Oh, there he is. Yeah, you see him jumping over. Yeah. Oh, man, that is good
cinematography.
Rick Fumiyua, I believe, is how you pronounce his name. And I hope Rick is listening because he's my favorite Rick in all of Star Wars.
Oh, how dare you? McCollum or die.
No, I am ride or die from the Yua. Like this, his episodes are fantastic.
What and
that kind of that kind of note is incredible direction, right? Like you see the reflection in the helmet, like it's the way it communicates the.
It's showing off about how good you are. But okay, what's the other one Rick directed?
It was the Bill Burr one.
Ah, nice. And then we see the disintegrator.
Right.
Which do you think Boba Fett could have disintegrated Han Solo in the holiday special with that same weapon?
If he I suppose so.
Lucky for Han. Things could have gone really different.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big fan of the disintegrator. Because I think it's too powerful a weapon to have in a little rifle. But his use of it, like if he only had like a couple of those ever to use, because that guy was actually going to like do bad things to the child. I feel like that's good use.
I'm more interested in what this tool is right here. This seems like a really useful thing.
It's like a glue gun for flesh.
Yeah, you don't really – I mean, it really is just like an LED that flashes.
All right,
they don't even bother to do any effects for it, which I think is very like – it reminds me of the little weird thing, the light that Yoda steals in Empire.
Yes, but we're going to get some foreshadowing here, Robbo. of Baby right. Yoda, or Yoju, if you will's healing power.
Right, which predates the rise of Skywalker and all that.
By 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, this is, people say, oh, this is a new force power, and it's really not. It's been around for a while. It just has different incarnations. You never see, I don't think there's any account that I can remember of somebody using the force to like actually knit somebody's open wounds. But there's plenty of accounts of Luke Skywalker it's a great old time just putting people in Jedi healing trances. He can just trance out anyone he wants, and they wake up, you know, a day later, totally feeling fine and all that. And it's and that's taken from the old 80s Western games RPG. So this is all stuff that, and it makes perfect sense, but that's the direct link from the Force to like Dungeons and Dragons. So when you make a tabletop role-playing game that has a magic-like element like the Force, you have to have a healing spell in there. So that's where that comes from.
You just have to.
You have to. No, I'm not joking. Like, you have to, because it's, you got to keep your friends alive, you know? Oh, all right.
So we've got,
oh, there's a little telescope.
Why doesn't his mask be able to do that?
I mean, because I would say, like, because I don't think they want to show him, like, articulating any, like, levers. Like, would he control it with his mind? Or would he be constantly, like, screwing dials on his head? Like, how would it work?
All right, so now he's exploding Jawas, and he does actually have to reload his little capsule things. So.
Right.
So I'm into that, but I don't know.
If it just shot regular bullets, you think he could take out like five of them instead of just two or three. But, and sometimes it does, but I think like his point would be like, there's something about seeing somebody burst into nothingness and sparks, which is probably more intimidating just seeing some Jawa get shot.
Now, one thing I was querying about the Jawas, the off-world Jawas, I'm not sure why they're called off-world Jawas, like the Tatooine's our Earth. But is that they also had a sand crawler. But what I heard in a Star Wars Explained video before was these are mining vehicles, and the mining companies just leave them there. They're not worth taking right. at the end of the job. So the Jawas just grab them. They love them.
Right, which this doesn't really follow through with, because you notice that like the cabin where they are controlling it, which we just saw, is like Jawa height. So that isn't really, it would probably be like a standard human height, because it seems like humans are the generic, like default species in the galaxy, that most things would be built to their specs rather than to little people.
They could have modified the cockpit.
Why would they steal? They're going to lower the ceiling or raise the floor?
Yeah.
No, that's ridiculous. Now you're talking crazy, Steel.
No.
We're talking about space mining tanks, not your imaginary fantasy stuff.
So we've got a
bit of- yeah, no, that's right. I don't know where that came from, but the first time I heard of that was in the Knights of the Old Republic video game, where you go to Tatooine shortly after. There's like a mining bust where the big bad evil corporation in that game, I believe it's Zerka Corp or something like that. I don't know. They went to Tatooine because there was like it was like a gold rush type scenario where they heard there was like valuable minerals and stuff that they could get in the mountains, and then, so they brought a bunch of stuff, and then they realized it was all like a scam, and there was nothing there. And then there's like, it's more expensive to take the mining equipment with them than it is just ditch it, and that's how the Jawas end up getting. But yeah, like it. I think they're not doing that in this one. I don't think. Although, like,
this
again,
backwards.
This planet could also have mines on it, too. Like,
yes.
It's not. That's so cool. I love seeing the disabled ship, like the ion cannon effect on a person is pretty neat. But they set it up in this episode because they show you, again, that there's, like, electronics hidden behind the panels of his armor. Does he get shot in the shoulder just then? I didn't see it.
I don't know, Robo. I don't think so. I don't know. But
it happens almost once an episode.
I love the bizarre Star Wars milkshake that this is, that a Boba Fett with a Yoda is attacking Jawas. Like, it's just like a Star Wars fever dream.
Beautiful, beautiful white transition there. Oh, just warms my heart still.
Now, this does bug me about this episode is how much they pulled apart the ship. The ship really seems like it's going to be unusable for a year.
It does. I
remember when I first watched it, I was like, oh, that's weird they're getting rid of that ship so early. That's like it's an unusable ship now. I'll spoiler alert by the end of the episode that the ship works.
I think this is one of those things where Star Wars has to, because it's a TV show or movie, it has to visually communicate what's happening because the audience has no actual reference for what a disabled ship looks like.
I know. They just couldn't, you know, the fact that it was so see-through. Like it is
like
a, it is
if
a hyperspace
you've never
traveling
seen an automobile
spaceship.
Before and you wanted to communicate that the automobile is not going to move anywhere, you'd have to literally take off like the tires and remove the engine and like bust out the windows and do all kinds of other stuff just so the audience would understand.
But look at that. That looks like a burnt carcass of a car.
If it didn't, people wouldn't understand why he's so like he's acting like this. I think it's necessary.
I didn't need that in the Phantom Menace. And Qui-Gon had to get another hyperdrive.
Phantom Menace is not the paragon of how to visually communicate ideas and concepts to the audience.
Yeah,
all right?
Qui-Gon explained it all.
That ship it looked fine and they're like, oh, we need fuel, and they're like, okay, I guess they need fuel. And it's like, we're gonna bet everything on this 8-year-old, and they're like, okay, I guess they're gonna do that, and it just don't ask questions.
Save that one for the Phantom Menace commentary.
Hey, you heard it here first. We're going to do it.
Not on your life. So we've got the return of Queel. Baby Yoda's going to eat a little CGI frog. Queel's just like, as a character, I just, anytime he does anything, it's the best.
It's. I wonder what it is, because it's like something about like the awkwardness of the way the actor has to walk in the costume makes it seem more real, even though it doesn't really. It shouldn't, right?
Like, and just that it's Nick Nolte the way he does it, and then how honorable the character is. I love his code of ethics,
and but logical too. Like he, like the things that he values to him, they're worth, you know, making sacrifices for and stuff like that. There just aren't for the Mandalorian, but it's a nice contrast because all the Mandalorian understands is got to get more of that money. Right. And that's what this, you know, the very next episode is going to be about is like, you know, what does it mean to gain the world and lose your soul, et cetera. So, oh, this is so cool. Love that shot.
What are they actually dragging there? The Borg is dragging the Mandalorian on like some. Oh, that's the. To bring back the trailer. Okay, got you. I like that they're living their best life and they've got tents on top of the Sandcrawler. Like, I like that they're like that Trapper John MD show where he camped out on top of his camper van. It's an 80s reference.
I think you're talking about MASH, but I think that's I'm thinking of a different character.
No, it's a character that was in MASH that got a spin-off.
Yeah. They really ran that show into the ground, didn't they?
Come on, we're watching a Star Wars TV show 43 years later.
This is so cool. I love them poking their heads out. You don't like that line, right?
I just because of like the weapons of my religion line, just for who else might say that in real life, I don't like it.
Yes, I totally get that. That's why I like Star Wars, because it can take a lot of things that would be very distasteful if you said it and did it in real life. Like, for instance, if these Jawas weren't Jawas, if they were like, you know, indigenous peoples to this planet and it was all taking place on Earth, you would not think the same way about this character and their interactions, right? But it allows you to deal with some of that stuff without touching like live wires in real life.
I just don't like it when it's like that could be a catch for like, oh, we love that character because guns are his religion. So now we've got him they're losing his cool with these Jawas. That's some excellent subtitle work here. That is such an overreaction. Sounds like a Wookiee and he flamethrows them.
Yeah, it's interesting watching this episode after seeing the end and seeing like what kind of person he kind of subtly, slowly becomes, where he wouldn't do that in episode 8, right?
One would hope.
No, like he wouldn't do that to like he distrusts IG-11, but he recognizes that his own prejudice is maybe like coloring his ideas of things in a sense. Like the child awakens as something in him that he's been pretending wasn't there, but he can no longer deny it. He's still a lot like Han Solo in that way.
Don't you think that, you know, they changed the color of the Jawa's eyes? They could have done something else about the robes. Just to make
him. I mean, they just made him gray. Like, they're grayish brown instead of regular brown.
Make him tan or something.
Why? Like, I feel like they should look. If it were me, I would make them look exactly like the Tatooine Jawas.
Yeah, but why are the eyes different then?
I don't know. I think the main reason is just to distinguish that, oh, we're not on Tatooine, just to remind people.
You just contradict yourself. I do.
No, I think that's why they did it. Yeah. I wouldn't do it. But I can put myself in other people's shoes, Steel.
I would have gone with same colored eyes, different colored corners. Makes more sense.
I would have put them all in, like, I guess, how about this? I would put them all in different color clothes, so it looks like they, like, kind of just worked with whatever they had around.
Yes. So they made the deal that they have to get an egg.
So
I've
got, why does he bring the kid?
Obviously it doesn't make any sense why he brings the child, except for the storyline.
Right.
They needed it. But logically, probably shouldn't have taken a floating crib with you to steal an egg off a dinosaur.
No. Unless there's like, you know, this is how I remember my friend after I first saw The Phantom Menace, like, was kind of teasing me because I was trying to defend the movie because I really, really wanted to like it, right? And I really didn't want it to be bad. And I remember somebody being like, we're watching it on a video when it first came out, right, on video. And he's like, why does Liam Neeson talk like that? It's like, here, Annie, let me clean this cut. And it's like, it's ridiculous. I'm like, well, he's a Jedi. He's weird. Like, he doesn't know how normal people talk. And they're like, I guess. But it sounds funny. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It does. I don't know. Probably.
Wow. I can't believe I've just heard a new complaint about The Phantom Menace 20 years later.
But there's like always my point was there's always a way of explaining something. And I was about to do that with why he brings Baby Yoda. I'm like, no, that's stupid. Like, remember your failure in the VHS tape. God, I love this episode. It's just got a little bit of everything. There's like a little bit of, this is like Alien, right? Doesn't it remind you of the, when they're investigating like the weird asteroid or whatever it is they go to? Yeah. Oh, and then you see the eye open. Oh my God. It's just like when the thing pops. Oh, so cool.
I did not expect that to be an eye. I tell you what.
What did you think it was going to be?
No, I just don't. I didn't appear an eye. I didn't expect an eye just to appear there. I thought it was like.
You thought it was a rectum, didn't you? I know.
No,
you.
No. I thought it was disgusting. Just a wall. But, man, what is this thing called? A longhorn?
A mudhorn.
Mudhorn. He's fighting that. This mudhorn gets a raw deal. All he's doing, or all she's doing, is trying to protect her child. Her egg.
Yeah, we don't know. It's like, does nothing wrong, right?
The town punks have got this guy on a mission because they want a snack.
This is, like, the fact that I think it works only because the Mudhorn almost kills the Mando. Like, it's clear that all things being equal, the Mando would be dead.
I feel like, because I always just think about, like, the motivation, because he's sort of just killing the mother of this egg because it's a mother of an egg. But I feel like he should have been after something not related to the rhino, and that was just an obstacle. Or the rhino had taken, you know, had grabbed something, or I don't know. But I feel like you are stealing the rhino's baby.
I would do it to get off the I don't want to be marooned on this, like, jerkwater planet. Like, look at this place. It's a dump. I would 100% kill whatever this thing is and take its egg and feed it to the Jawas myself. I would get out a spoon and feed it to them. No. I don't want to be stranded on, like...
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, but...
That was an interesting shot where you can see through the glass on the... Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, go ahead.
That was great. So he's...
I love this.
With the mudhorn.
Now, this I don't like as much. The way that Baby Yoda literally lifts the mudhorn off the ground. Because it seems like it's too conscious a thing for him to be doing, or her to be doing. We don't know. And it would, to me, it would be more interesting if the mudhorn is about to do it and the baby, like, somehow, like, communicates to it in a way, like, don't, and you don't understand it first, and then it gets out and it goes over and, like, touches it and makes it, like, docile, and then the Mando kills it.
Well, this is the harsh thing to do, is just then kill it straight after as well. Like, I know he gets the Mudhorn logo. I just don't, like, he says later on in another episode, goes, oh, it wasn't an honorable kill or something.
Yeah.
Like, not because, like, Yoju helped. It was like, because all you're doing was trying to steal its egg.
But you were doing it to complete you promised somebody that you would do something for them. And if you don't do everything within your power to finish that, you kind of lie to them
just
in a way.
Just following orders.
And when has that excuse ever backfired or come back to haunt anybody? Never. Never in history, Steel.
Now, look at gorgeous Yoju. All passed out from his big force power. That's just so delightful.
He's just tuckered out.
My God.
I forgot how short this episode is. I love the look of this egg, the shag carpet egg.
Yeah, I know, a furry egg. It's so odd.
It's gross and awesome. This is like getting close to the Thala Siren on Luke's island levels of gross to me, which I love. Yeah, I love it. It's gross in a sense that it's not like gross because it resembles something gross in our world. It's gross because it just like communicates this like ickiness, but for no reason. Like a hairy egg is gross to me. I love this. They're like, we give up. We've given him enough time. Close the giant ass door.
I love it when the sand crawler door comes down. I think it's so sick.
It stops. The good Rick, Steele. The good Rick.
McCollum.
No, Rick. He is awesome. I swear, like, I just the strength of his two episodes on this show. I need to go look at his work because I'm not familiar with it, and I feel like that's my bad.
It looks like they're carrying the egg around. It looks like a Wookiee head. Like he came back with a decapitated Wookiee.
Oh man, if he were like get the Wookiee head, he has to decapitate a Wookiee. I don't think there's any coming back from that.
Now,
his knife right there. You can barely see it, but that is a steel a Rabo report callback. That is a Gurkha style blade. I talked about Gurkha soldiers. They carry a very distinctive, almost like crescent shaped knife, and that's exactly what they have.
In real life?
In real life. They're real life people. Yeah. Go look it up.
That the sap inside the egg looks delicious.
It looks like a Cadbury egg without the chocolate.
A caramel or something.
Yeah. Oh man. Did you see that coming that they were just gonna eat it?
Oh no, and I love just the zaniness of it. It's like you have to go through all that and then they just chop it off and then like just gorge it. They don't sit down for dinner, they don't heat it up.
They crave it so much. It's so tasty to them that they cannot wait a second. They could bring it up to the patio on their sunroof up there underneath those little umbrellas and stuff and really make an afternoon out of it, but they don't. They have to eat it now.
Now, we're getting to some intense close-ups of Yoju sleeping and just remarkably cute. Now they've got back with this giant pile of metal and this ship that's a skeleton. And I don't know. How long does the rest of this episode go for? 3 years? How long does it take for them to put together this ship? That's
figure
months.
It's a few days. That's how I looked at it. I looked at this as like about a week.
So about 4 years, you think?
Oh, about a week.
Okay.
every ship in Star Wars deal is like it's like a 32 Ford coupe. It's all a jalopy. You can always fix it in about a week.
Now, all these scenes of them putting the ship together are at night. Did it take one night, or did they only work at night?
I think it's the show is trying to communicate to you that it's overnight. I think that's canonically what's happening. But
I mentioned that it bugs me how much they pulled apart the ship.
Yes, you have.
Okay, good, great.
But to me, it's like how long did it take Han and Leia and Chewie to bring the Falcon to?
What? Sorry, they miss a big callback here when the Mandalorian turns the engine on. Both engines. You know what you do. You look to the sky and you go, it's working. It's working. Come on.
What?
Phantom Menace style. Anakin, pod race.
I told you about the last time I saw that movie.
Oh, gosh.
It already happened. So, yeah, like, it's – I think it's they're trying to tell you that it happened overnight. I don't know why. I think it's a mistake, but it's kind of like how – the Falcon somehow travels from the Hoth system to a different star in who knows how long. Like
the movie
makes you think it could be like a day, but it should have been at least like a month or so.
Hmm. That's why you don't mention time in Star Wars, Robo. We've been over this countless times.
Yeah, I know. This is so great. The weird little salute he gives. Like, I can't bend my fingers very well in this costume, but this is my salute.
He's spoken. Kuel, one of the great characters.
I mean, really, who ranks above Kuel? Like, maybe Chewbacca, maybe 3PO. I can't think of many. We're only thinking of the greats here.
Grief.
He's close, but he's not a 4 foot tall pig man with Nick Nolte's voice.
I don't know, but the way he did shots when they were cornered in
that is pretty great.
That is unbelievable. But
look, Kuel died for the Baby Yoda's salvation.
No one waves like Kuel. He's got the best wave in Star Wars.
He does. I feel
like.
Another great ship taking off.
God, and this music. Oh.
The music in the show can be really good and really terrible.
Oh, dear.
No, that's not. Look, Steel, that was funny like 30 episodes ago. Like, it's not funny anymore. Like, it's just. It's sometimes the music is really good, and other times I feel like it's very distracting, and I cannot put my finger on it.
It's like doing a podcast with you. There's a compliment in there.
I choose not to see it, and I'm moving on. This is interesting because he's like, it shows like he's worried about the baby, right? Like, he's shaking the thing. Like, is it now? How many times have you done that with your child when you first brought your baby home and you're like, is it asleep or is it not breathing?
Always at Jackie's request. Sometimes
you'll
just
not stop doing that.
Can you just check?
I would do it. I would compulsively do it. It took me about 2 months before I stopped doing that. I would literally like lick my index finger and put it under his nose to see whether I could feel his breath.
Directed by Famuyiwa. Not Rick Mikkel.
The good Rick Steele.
The other Rick.
No.
Look at the concept drawing of that furry egg.
Yeah, I like that he's really like running with the egg, like he's going to run out of time. He's got to get it. He's running like he's got 10 yards to go on his next down with that egg. This is such a great episode, and it has very little to do with
track down this concept artist that did the Razor Crest so pulled apart in that painting. What were you thinking, man? Come on.
Yeah, that's who your real beef is with, Steel.
Yeah.
I like how the Mudhorn looks in the concept art a lot better. It looks less rhinoceros-y.
Yeah, but the effect was done super well.
It was. It did look really good.
It didn't look like low quality. Like, there's been a lot worse in Star Wars over the years.
What I like about Lucasfilm's approach to concept art is they really go all in on just like, these are scenes. And the whole point of Star Wars is to have cool looking scenes. And so you can do concept art for something that doesn't really require it. Like, nobody needs concept art of what does it look like when the Mandalorian is walking back to his ship with the baby. You know what all those things are going to look like, right?
You need but something.
Should we just go ahead and do the next episode? I could.
Could you?
I could. I mean, we don't have to. We can cut them up. You got to spread the content out. But
okay.
Because mine just started. I'm like, oh, yeah, that one's not so. We could do that, too. That's just another 30 minutes.
All right. We're going to wrap it up.
All right. So thanks, everybody. I probably didn't do a good enough job of selling that one as why it's my favorite Star Wars thing since The Last Jedi. And maybe even before or earlier, rather. But it's all about just like what moves me the right way. And that one did for some reason. I don't know how to explain it, but for me, that was it. And I don't know why, it just was. And thank you, good Rick, for everything you've done.
Stop.
And
you don't have to make the Ricks compete.
Thank you, better Rick. How about that? Or like later Rick. Rick the later. How about that?
Let's thank all the Ricks for all they've contributed.
How many are there? Just two, right? Can you think of another Rick?
I can only think of one.
That's your problem, Steele.
McCollum. Oh, my God.
Look, do you like him for his actual work, or do you just like him for the like documentary footage? What is it?
I don't know.
I think it's the document. You just like his perplexed and distraught look whenever something bad happens, and he can't say that is really bad for everybody but you. can't say it.
I just like his moxie and his spirit.
Yeah. I know.
I'm going to see Liam in Prague. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
That's not what I'd call moxie. That's what I'd call like.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mate, you rate Moxie your way, and I'll rate Moxie my way, all right?
To me, Moxie like sounds less obviously stoned. That's just how, like, I don't think you could be that high and have Moxie. I think you have like more like a you have chill, right? He's got a lot of chill,
intense chill.
He's like, there is no amount of weed I can smoke that will make me not super anxious about everything that's happening right now.
No, I feel like he's doing that, but then at the same time having those like Starbucks cans. So he's just got competing forces. Like, he's sort of super wound up.
Trying to balance it out.
He's super wound up, but relaxed.
Well, you seem really high, Rick. No problem. Just a second. It's like a shotgun, a couple of these Starbucks energy drinks.
Oh, those things are the best. They are liquid gold. Liquid gold.
Anyway, I will stop saying the good Rick. I will start saying my favorite Rick. How about that?
Thank you.
Compromise?
Let's be inclusive with our Ricks, please.
Yeah, but... Rick, my favorite Rick, if you're listening, I love you. I promise I will get your name right next time.
Excellent. Alrighty, Robbo, that was tremendous times. And as we mentioned at the start, this is normally a Patreon exclusive episode. And if you had fun listening to this, you want more Robbo, whether he's just talking about Star Wars events of the day or doing the commentary for episode one. And straight after this, we're going to record episode 3. Join the Patreon. You can get all the audio that we've ever done, over 600 shows, for just $3 a month. And there's regular bonus shows each week. Normally about 3 or 4 bonus shows right now. So it's bonusing up just for $3 a month. And you'll get to hear episode 3 with Robbo and the other episodes that we'll do. We're trying to do these so they come out every week, hey, Robbo?
Hey, so far, so good, Steel.
Hey, can I ask just before we go? We just had the Clone Wars trailer go up. Are you that excited about that? I don't know what's your Clone Wars what's your stance on the Clone Wars?
Well, I heard about it.
Oh, so you haven't watched the trailer?
I haven't watched it. I heard that it was up, but it's not really my thing. It sounds great. Yeah, I hope that people who are, I know more than one big fan of that show, and I'm really, really happy for them. Shout out to Corey. I hope you're listening. This sounds like this is everything Corey's ever wanted until it's over, and then he wants 6 more episodes. So to me, like, this is the trailer to Corey's glee and joy. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Yes.
Oh, my God, Corey. He's definitely already predicting that there's secretly more episodes on the way. So he's just going to keep on doubling down.
If he stops, who knows? It might dry up, you know?
He might.
Got to keep that hope alive.
He might end up being the new Dave Filoni if he keeps doubling down. He's only about 4 announcements away, I feel like.
You got too much hair for that.
So, yeah, if you want to check out the Patreon, it's patreon.com/Steel Wars. There's a link in the show notes, and a massive shout out to all our Patreon supporters. It's super fun doing the episodes for you, and doing the Q&As is really good fun as well. Robbo, where can the good people of the internet find some of your Star Wars opinion in text form?
Well, you can check out my Twitter feed. It's on that horrible website called Twitter, and it's at GCINX. And I do check out my replies, because mostly my Star Wars stuff is replying to other people. I like to tell Manny Bothans out there what I'm thinking about, and King Tom. I'm more interacting with those people. And I've also got a non-Star Wars related podcast. It's about video games, called Hardcore Gaming 101. You can find that wherever fine podcasts are streamed. I just got through the harrowing experience of transferring the feed over to Libsyn, which was a nightmare and made me regret ever plugging in a microphone and recording my voice. It was awful. But now it's up there, and the damage is done. And definitely, if you like this, you should definitely check out, give Steel a couple bucks. You'll listen to the other shows. It gets weird. It gets crazy. You never know what's going to happen on the Robbo Report. But also, even if you didn't like this, check out Steel's Patreon, because there's other people's are out there on there doing their shows. King Tom's got the Page Wars, which I really like. I just finished a couple days ago the latest Hawes and Steel Star Wars Year by Year. Very funny. Very good. Great chemistry between you two. I think Hawes has just like automatic chemistry with just about anyone. He's really good. He's a natural, as we say in the podcasting biz. And as I say in the podcasting biz, so long, suckers!
You do that so well.
Oh, yeah!
Space.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.